Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Net neutrality advocates got some bad news with the ascension of Ajit Pai to be FCC chairman, as it appears that Pai wants to largely reverse the Obama administration's approach to the internet. But here's one change the new FCC may want to accelerate in 2017. We've seen an unprecedented amount of activity on the state level in regards to broadband access debates. Large telecommunications monopolies are digging their heels in on a number of issues, and in some places, citizens are effectively fighting back. Christopher Mitchell is the director of community broadband networks at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
The number one thing is that it has to come about organically. So it's not something that, you know, me as a puppeteer can orchestrate from far away. What we see is local businesses that are generally the ones to start advocating, saying we need this connectivity to make sure we're competitive in our industries, and we cannot get it from the private sector at a reliable, affordable price. So what happens then is that local governments start to look at it. They see what other local governments have done. A lot of times they'll actually riff on those models, and we see new models developing. But fundamentally, it's a very organic, bottom-up kind of process.
Is the model for this the public utility districts of the 1930s and 40s?
In some areas, in rural areas, I think that's the case. And in some ways, you might say that Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration is probably going to be more responsible for high-quality internet access investment in rural areas than any administration since, because it's those rural co-ops that are often the ones driving the highest quality networks in rural areas.
And where are people getting their main internet access? Is it from cable companies? Is it from some special service that was like a wholesaler? I don't quite understand how the retail and wholesale thing works.
You know, in rural areas, you actually have these electric co-ops and telephone co-ops. They're often offering either retail or wholesale services. Electric co-ops in particular, some do retail and some will actually just focus on the wires and let other entities like nearby co-ops offer the services over their networks instead. Now, in cities, you also have a variety of models where it really depends on the local government's willingness to get in and to try and compete directly with the cable or telephone companies. I think what we'll see more commonly is cities that are trying to invest in networks that will enable other ISPs, private companies, nonprofits, who knows, to compete with the big cable and telephone companies rather than having the city doing it themselves. It's a model kind of like the roads, where the city doesn't run all the trucks, the city just provides the roads.
Do you think that this proliferation of internet services and the local initiatives that are in very varied ways, as you're describing, are getting broadband and internet service to all sorts of places around the country where the private sector dares not tread, will eventually result in a legal definition of broadband or internet service as essentially a right in America, not simply a service?
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk about rights, and I don't even know if I have a right to electricity, but I know that we expect it everywhere. And that's a norm. And that's what I'm a little bit more interested in, is making sure that people can expect it. And I think that will be the case. The biggest problem right now for not expecting any access is in rural areas. And I do think that as the historic rural cooperatives, both telephone and electric, have more opportunity to expand, rural areas will have that option. Now, in cities, you often have connectivity if you can pay for it, but you may not be able to pay for it. And that's a much bigger problem that I think local governments will increasingly wrestle with. You may see a municipality coming up with solutions for low-income areas to make sure that they can have all of the benefits of connectivity in the modern age, which I think is just really important for making sure that the children are able to do better than their parents, which, you know, you might think of as the American dream, of course.
Christopher Mitchell is director of community broadband networks at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Thanks so much.
Thank you.